Welcome to episode 82 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. It's a slightly extended show this week, so I'll keep this intro nice and brief. In a few days' time, I'll be shooting some new promotional pictures for my good friend and musician, Tom Kent. Now, knowing the sort of imagery that he needs is one thing, but location is going to play a big part, which is why I decided to go location scouting last weekend in preparation. So, with that said, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 82. So, about 2 weeks ago, maybe a little bit less, I was sat in a local cafe having a chat with my friend Tom Kent. Now, for a lot of you, you will know that Tom is a session musician and a very talented guy, and he has been a friend for a good while. Now, of course, we were talking about photography along the way, and I had mentioned to Tom some time previous that I would quite like him to stand in as a subject for a number of pictures that I want to shoot for my own, just for myself, my portfolio. But that got us to talking about promotional photography, about music photography, and all things in between. And it turns out that Tom himself was in need, or is in need, of some fresh pictures of himself. These are for his own promotional activities, but specifically for his a number of the companies that support him with endorsements. Now, for those of you that endorse products or are looking about how you pick up endorsements, one of the things you have to remember, of course, is that it's a two-way street. If you are going to be endorsed by a company, you have to keep your end of the bargain. And one of the things that Tom needs to do is update his profile pictures, which is fair enough, because if those companies are sending pictures out in their marketing material or putting them up on their websites, for example, they need fresh pictures of the people that are using their products. Now, Tom has his own ideas of the sort of pictures that he wants, but me, personally, as a photographer, it was important that I knew from the start what sort of pictures he wanted, and more importantly, what sort of a background, what sort of a location. So, as much as I could easily set up a studio and do some very, you know, studio-based typical shots that are, you know, whatever background might be quite plain, very light, very bright, or what have you, I can set up a studio anywhere because I've got the lighting, I've got the backdrops, the materials, and this, that, and the other. But in conversation, what was decided was that actually Tom needed some very natural outdoors shots of him with a number of items that are items that he uses regularly, but we also wanted to create some sort of a context. So that was fine as a starting point, and I didn't really need a lot more information than that in the first instance. So my next point was to think about, well, where are we going to shoot these photographs? If they're going to be on location, going to be outdoors, what is that backdrop? And in conversation, it was decided that Tom needs an urban setting. He's a musician, he's often in an urban environment. The look of the pictures needs to suggest, you know, the city or buildings and this sort of thing. But of course, there are many, many cities throughout the country. Tom is a very busy guy. He has commitments. I'm busy. I have commitments. So we had to find a place that was both not too far away to make it practical, but also that had the right look. So this past weekend, and this recording of course goes out on the Monday, so the weekend before, I decided to go for a little wander down in Portsmouth, which, for those of you who don't know, Portsmouth is right on the south coast here in the UK. For the sake of having a wander around and taking what are essentially just snaps, location record shots, I didn't want to be loaded down with kit, and there actually wasn't any requirement to have lots of kit, nor was there any real requirement for Tom to come along. Now, as it happens, he was busy performing and what have you, anyway, so couldn't come along. So my starting point was to jump on the train and head down to Portsmouth, which has, as you would imagine, has its own train station, and actually the train station is very close to some of the areas that I wanted to have a look at for the backdrop for the pictures. With me, I had a very simple setup. It was just a Nikon D3 with a 24-85. Now, of course, that's not going to be any real surprise for a lot of you listening, because you know that's one of my favourite setups for a great number of pictures that I shoot. Was there anything else? I don't believe there was. I had my phone with me, but that actually didn't play any real big part in the actual location sort of walkabout. So what I thought I would do today is just talk about some of the shots and the considerations that I took over this past weekend. Now, I probably should say I did make an attempt to record my thoughts as I walked around, but between the wind getting up and creating too much interference around the microphone and people around me creating a bit of a noise and the fact that it wasn't very subtle and I didn't want to draw attention to myself, I decided in the end to just go for a wander, take the shots, and actually I'm sat in my office now with the computer on, with the screen in front of me, and I can talk through these pictures. For those of you who want a reference point, what I have in front of me is Adobe Bridge, and this is a really good way for me just to preview these pictures just as I talk through them, just as an incidental reference there. So the first thing I did, came off the train and walked along to a place called the Guildhall, which a lot of you may or may not know. It's a big old building which is used for concerts and performances and various entertaining and that sort of thing. Now, the Guildhall is a very grand building, but actually if you go around the side and sort of around the back where there's a parking area, the architecture is fantastic, because I honestly don't know what what era it's from. But bear in mind that I was looking at what will look good in photographs. So the first picture that I've got in front of me, and you have to excuse me clearing my throat, I've just got the very tail end of the cough that I had a little while ago, so I'm just trying to battle on through that. The first picture I've got in front of me is a set of steps with some wrought iron rails going down the middle, really nice sort of sweeping staircase, and again it may not be may not be urban enough, may not be modern enough for what Tom is wanting, but when I look at this shot, there's no extra lighting. It's just literally I believe, in fact I can get the data up in front of me here, or can I should be able to, focal length, there we go. Yeah, so it was shot at f8, and again the shutter speed on this shot is irrelevant, but it was shot at f8, so it gave nice depth of field front to back, and it's just a really nice record shot to tell me what's there. Now, it's my intention when I do this shoot to have at least one other person with me, obviously Tom and myself and someone else, because I'm going to be taking probably, I would imagine, one additional light. I might take two, but my aim is to have one light with a small softbox just to fill in some shadows and create a bit of separation from the background. And of course, by using different ratios between the ambient light and the flashlight, then you can start to darken down the background, you can separate the subject from the surroundings. So that, as a starting point, that was literally just a couple of minutes walk away from the train station. I obviously am familiar with this area, so I knew that this was here, so it was no real surprise. But that was my starting point, just to kind of get in the frame of mind for the sort of shots that I am going to want to shoot. The lenses that I will take with me are probably going to just be a couple, I would imagine. There'll be something like the 24-85 and probably an 80-200, just for some nice long lens shots. Now, if it's a day like it was at the weekend when I did this location scout, it was incredibly bright. So there won't be an issue with light. Of course, I can put the ISO up on the camera. It's not a problem. But of course, we like to try and keep the ISO really low so that there's as little noise or interference in the pictures as possible. Excuse me. So that was the first shot. I'm just going to skip through to the next, where I just went down a little bit lower at the bottom of the steps just to take in some extra depth going into the background. We've got these, the steps are kind of sort of shaped sort of semicircular around the corners, and then they straighten out and then disappear into the round the other corner. Really nice. I would, if that was an option, I'd put Tom somewhere in the sort of front third of the picture and just make use of all those angles. And maybe on in that instance, maybe have a single light coming down from sort of camera left just to lift him out, to separate him. One of the things that you need to bear in mind is if you're going to be working with the sunlight and there are shadows in the pictures, ideally, a lot of people would say, and of course this isn't a steadfast rule, rules can be broken, but you want to make sure that all the shadows are going in the same direction if what you're trying to do is replicate the sunlight. So at the weekend, as I look at this picture, obviously the sun, I was shooting sort of almost into the sun, although it was, there's a canopy of trees and it was sort of breaking through with the mottled sunlight. So I would have to see what the light was doing on the day. I gather that the day that we're aiming to shoot this, it's not going to be such a bright sunny day, and also not as hot, which actually would suit me very well because it was incredibly hot. And actually, walking around a city carrying a load of camera gear, it's hot enough anyway. So you know, we'll wait and see. But that was a good opening, sort of shot or consideration. Just looking at another picture from a reverse angle. Again, just really nice architecture. There's opportunity there for Tom to be leaning up against the wall. We've got the steps there, so there's ways that we can have him at, you know, sort of with where he puts his legs and the way he sits, you know, creates more shaping and more form in the pictures, rather than having him just sat like, you know, like a cutout. It also means that if he's got various, I don't know, guitar, his case or what have you, there is option to work around it there. And a lot of texture as well in the masonry. I don't know if it's sandstone. It's kind of a very sort of sandy colour. I think it might be, but I'm no no expert. So after I'd visited that first area, which was, as I say, just on my route, I walked along to just around the corner, and again, nice big sweeping staircase on a separate building, a corner building. Just the potential is fantastic. Now, that we're not going to be necessarily spending all day. We've got a very open brief that we've agreed in, that we're not strapped down to a particular amount of time. I want to make sure I get the shots for Tom. Obviously, I want to make sure that they are what he's wanting, and I want to make sure that they are constructed and lit as best as possible. This is one of the reasons why I'm bringing along at least one person to help as an assistant. Sometimes I work with an assistant, other times I don't. So that's really good. I'm sort of really encouraged by this second location. It may not be exactly what Tom had in mind, but he's a very open-minded guy, and actually it might work better than perhaps something that he had thought of. Excuse me. As I will explain in a little while, there are other more urban, modern urban looking locations that I found, which probably, I'm guessing, are going to be more suitable for what Tom's after. Anyway, next shot. The next shot that I was just mentioning there was sort of from a distance and sort of at a quarter angle. But this next one, I was looking straight on at these steps. Again, just really nice symmetry with the buildings. I'm undecided as yet. I may or may not take my tripod. If I do, it will be a Gitzo Traveller Series 2, which is a carbon fibre tripod, so it keeps the weight down and it's fairly compact. Again, walking around, it's quite hot. You know, I want to keep weight to the minimum. But as I say, using a tripod, even on a bright day and on even just a simple setup like this, you should never necessarily assume, because it's a bright day, that you shouldn't use a tripod. Obviously, you won't necessarily have to use a tripod because the shutter speeds will be fast enough to freeze movement and to cut out any risk of camera shake. But bear in mind that using a tripod and having your camera bolted up to a tripod allows you to step back from a picture, interact with your subject, whether it's just a scene or whether it's people. And it also lets you, interact more with people and just slow things down a little bit and consider things. So, for example, I could set up a position on these steps here and say to Tom, well, look, let's do a test shot. You just stand or sit there. We'll do a test shot, then come and have a look and see what you think. So that then he will have a very clear idea of what he looks like in the picture and what he thinks would work better. Now, excuse me, there are some people, often you'll work with subjects, and sometimes they won't really have an idea and they'll say, look, you're the photographer, I'll do whatever you want, you know, I'll trust your judgment. Others are more visually aware, they've got a very set idea. But again, just using a tripod is something that is well worth thinking about. A lot of people just leave it in the car when they see the sun come out. But, you know, we'll see. Moving on to the next shot. This is somewhere over by one of the university buildings, which is surrounded on this particular area with a nice red brick, like, sweeping long brick wall. Really nice. For this test shot, with the 24-85 at a wide angle setting, I went in pretty close so that, again, all of these shots were shot at f8, just to give some nice depth of field and give me a good sense. But on this particular shot, because I was so close in to the wall with it sweeping round to my camera right, it is a little bit out of focus into that right-hand corner, but it just gives me a really nice reference point of there's a definite focal point that I could put Tom there and I could shoot super wide down towards him with that really nice sweeping wall. I could light it just a single light straight on to him, which would be from camera left, but obviously off camera in the foreground. That would be really nice. I've shot stuff with Tom in the past where that's worked very well, and with other people. But that wall just got me to thinking that actually, as well as that super wide angle shot, I could also use a long lens from slightly further away just to condense and bring the depth of field down so it's much more shallow, and it'd be just a really nice standalone shot. Now, by the time Tom has whatever props he's bringing along to be in the pictures to keep his endorsement companies happy, that is another consideration that will influence whether I have a very shallow depth of field, very wide, how I shoot it. Because obviously we need to make sure that if there's any branding in there, it needs to be there, and that the products need to be clearly visible. Slightly different shot, slightly further back, just showing a bit more of the university building. I did actually, as I was wandering around, have a chat with a couple of the security guards, just to say, you know, it's one of those things that a lot of people would say that you should seek forgiveness, not permission. Yes, that does work on occasions. If you want to be a bit cheeky, it's a good tactic. For me, I always like to touch base with people in the days before, if possible, just say, look, this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm not going to be pointing a big lens into the university. I'm not going to take any pictures of people I don't have any interest in, whoever might be in the building. It's just we want to use this location. And they were really very good with it, didn't have any opposition. They said, look, if you see anyone come out, want to know what's going on, just go up to the reception and just tell them what you're doing, and that'll all be fine. So that was nice and encouraging. The next shot here is a set of steps, just with a red brick, a bit of railing there, nothing particularly brilliant. But again, bear in mind that a picture can be absolutely transformed by the time you light it. So although I'm thinking that I'm going to be using probably just a single additional light, bear in mind you have a second light always on hand in the form of the sun, that could be really good because I can light this sort of side wall. There are two side walls. I can get Tom stood there and there's lots of although it's a simple red brick wall, there's the texture in there that would be really nice. It might even be that we just get a set of pictures knocked out nice and quickly, relatively speaking, and then actually I might think, do you know what, I want to revisit this area for some shots for myself. So you never know. The next shot is one of the university buildings from a different angle. It's got a very different sort of structure. It's almost like, I don't know how to describe it really. It's very modern looking. And it's just, rather than being brick, I suppose it's concrete, but in long sort of almost like, not spears, but sort of vertical chunks of this concrete. It's very modern looking. I don't know whether I'd actually use that, because actually to have Tom stood there up against that and shooting towards it, it would be looking pretty much directly towards windows that probably have, I don't know, offices or classes or what have you. So I'm not too keen to use that. It's nice, but I just don't want to. Again, I don't want to draw too much attention to what we're doing. We just want to walk around town taking these shots and get on with it. Another shot with some very angular building with some slopes, brickwork, some steps could be good as a place for Tom to sit there. His legs could be sort of dangling off the top of this raised area. Really nice. Just, again, trying to work out some different levels in pictures. Just for interest, think about the rule of thirds, where your subject is in these key areas of the picture. The rule of thirds, I should probably mention, if you were to I'm going to draw myself a little diagram here to help me. If you were to have your picture and you imagine a rectangle and you draw... here we go. So if you draw two horizontal lines and two vertical lines, so you've got three lines of three boxes. If you put your subject on one of the intersections of where those lines cross over, so essentially you've got four intersections, but you can play around with it a little bit, that is what's known as the rule of thirds. And when you place your subject in those positions, it could be a car in a car park, it could be your dog in a field, it could be, say, a musician on a set of steps, anything like that. It's a very simple, like, fundamental rule in photography that works very well and just gives you really nice striking images. So opportunity there, some more of the same. I'm just going to skip through a little bit because I know what's coming up with these other pictures ahead of this, and I'm aware that, you know, we're a good 20 odd minutes in so far. So there's a subway here with some really nice bright blue railings. That could be interesting just for a bit of colour. There's an area behind one of the old theatres, and there are a number of theatres in Portsmouth, but they've, from what I can tell, they've raised that area to the ground, so it's all rubble and what have you, and it's all cordoned off, and there are all these like wooden barrier boards around the outskirts, around the perimeter. But but what they've done is actually artists have actually painted those walls, those wooden borders, which is really nice. Lots of colour in there. I'll probably return to that in a minute, because I know I walked past it, took a shot, and then came back. So again, just from afar, just as a record shot, from a slightly different angle, bit of colour there. There's some reference to some music that's on there. Just along from there, and actually within view of the place that I first took a couple of shots, just as reference, there's, again, a really nice just old brickwork, or fairly modern brickwork, red brick, which would look really nice because it's just very simple. Don't ever be afraid to just have someone stood against a brick wall. It's, You know, you don't have to make pictures complicated just to be clever. Just work with the colour, work with the texture. And so I thought that was something that, you know, that would give me... excuse me. That would give me a ready-made backdrop with very little hassle, just a very straight-on picture. I know that when I was walking around, it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When we're looking to this, it's going to be, I guess, a little bit earlier, but it could be around that time by the time we come to some of these locations, that it's very important when you're doing a location scout to bear in mind where the sunlight's going to be. So you need to think about how you're going to light the picture, what shadows are going to be cast, and so forth. But that was really quite interesting, I thought, that very plain wall. And it's a fairly quiet back road, so shouldn't be too much passing traffic and so forth. So if I did need to step out into the road, obviously keep your awareness about you, but there's a lot of potential there and it should be pretty safe and quite discreet. Now, walking back from there, I found a really nice old like double doors, which are kind of like an old, almost like you got like the stage doors in the back of a theatre. I don't think this is, or maybe it was in the past, but just a really nice corner off the main road, and there shouldn't be any real problem with any passing traffic because it's a dead end and what have you. But that's really nice. A nice green door, slightly faded, the paint's peeling a little bit. Again, it may not be modern enough, but when you think about music photography and portraits and edgy urban portraits, that actually looks really nice. And a bit of colour, a bit of edginess with the contrast between, say, if Tom's got his guitar, it's nice and smooth and angular and fresh looking, what have you. But then if you've got the old doors and the brickwork that's here, again, really nice contrast. So I walked back and passed that boarded up area with the surrounding fencing and what have you. And again, there's just really nice colourful artwork, which would make a really nice abstract background. Because if I'm fairly close, it would just be literally abstract colour. Some writing on the walls there, which is rather nice. So, you know, worth a thought. So then I walked around further back towards... around whereby the law courts are and some of the other university buildings. Just going to skip through here, just some long shots, really nice modern looking building with a car park. Probably the car park's going to be full when we come to the shoot, so I don't think that's really going to be an option. Around by the law courts, some really good architecture there. I know they say that there's a sign saying no skateboarding and no bicycles because the walls are actually like a concave, which are very popular with the biking and skateboarding communities in Portsmouth. Might be able to do something there. But then I moved on to around by one of the old car parks. Well, I say one of the old car parks. It's been there for some time, still in use. But really nice angular design, steps there, different levels. Might be a little bit old looking, but by the time I light it, it could well look a lot fresher. Often you'll look at areas and you think, oh, it really does look quite, I don't know, rough or like it's, you know, crumbling down, what have you. By the time you light it, it's amazing what light can do just to hide some of the some of the distractions and highlight some of the nicer areas. Again, I'm looking at pictures here of some of the architecture around by the civic buildings, railings, steps, really nice. There's a car park area which has got like a bright painted green, I think is actually like ventilation area. That, again, just having Tom stood there, just absolute straight on, slightly from afar with a long lens, really nice because it's just a bright, vibrant green. With Tom stood there, that would be excellent. It has a slight edginess. It would just set him out from the background. It'd be lovely. Again, just walking around that area, I could see different angles. Just looking back at this picture, some staircases that go down. Really nice. There's a flyover walkway, which is good. So looking underneath, there's sort of a kind of like a cone shape. I suppose it's like brickwork. It's just architecture. Could get him sat there. It's really nice. And then there's that walkover area which goes from Guildhall Square over towards where the student accommodation is for the university. So this was right at the very end of my walkabout, playing just with this single lens, just to get ideas. I didn't want to start changing lenses and getting really, too specific. I sometimes do, but on this occasion I didn't. I was very hot. I just wanted to, get back to the office to get on with things. I didn't want to be spending all day walking around. So probably within that area, and there's a couple of other bits sort of with under the railway arches and what have you. Just within about sort of 10-15 minutes walk of where I got out from the train station, there are all these different locations which I can use as backdrops. Now, what I'm going to do is, I haven't got to do any real post-production on these. I just converted them from RAW files to JPEGs. I'm going to send a link to Tom, and I'm just going to actually have a look on Twitter, just because I did send him a message. I know that he's busy at the moment today, so I don't think he's... If he's seen my message, he hasn't replied to it. But basically, just to let him know that I'm going to be sending him a link so that he can tell me what he thinks, what really appeals to him. Because also, that means that rather than trudging around on across all these locations, I can say, okay, well, you thought that these three... for argument's sake, are the best locations. Let's just concentrate on those. We'll see how time goes and what we get. So the whole process starts with Tom, as in this example, saying, I need these pictures, me having an awareness of what the pictures are going to be used for and the sort of style and look that we're going for. You know me, I don't do a lot of post-production, so they're just going to be very natural, nicely lit. I'm sure some of them will end up black and white, just nice and, nice and contrasty. But again, just from that point, having found a number of locations, notifying, obviously, Tom in this case, and if it was a client, it would be something that I would notify them. And then ahead of the day, those people that are involved, letting them know what's going on. Then we will work out where we're going to meet, what we're going to do, and it just all follows on from there. So for just, an hour or two just wandering around gives me a much better idea of what's coming up ahead of me for this shoot. It informs me what equipment I need to take, or more importantly, what I don't need to take. And it just ensures that hopefully everything is going to run along smoothly. Now, just one final point, because I don't want this to drag on for too long this week. the lighting, I could take some studio lighting with a portable battery pack, but for a number of reasons, I'm not going to be doing that. I'm probably going to take a couple of Nikon speed lights, a couple of softboxes, and possibly a couple of stands. I may even not take that. I might just take a couple of speed lights, one stand and a softbox, and like a little pocket tripod, so that I can put if I need a second light sort of out of camera just to shine and fire some light towards say Tom's shoulder, just to create a separation from the backdrop, that can be put out of frame. Doesn't need a massive tripod or stand. It's just nice and compact, and we're going to keep it nice and light. The camera will be one camera, couple of lenses, and that'll be it. So the person that's assisting me, whoever that is on any occasion, it means that I'm not lugging them down with kilos and kilos of equipment. So it should mean that we work quickly, work light, and we just get the pictures that we want without any unnecessary fuss. So with that in mind, I am hoping to shoot a little video along the way. No promises, but we shall see. And either way, I will be sharing behind the scenes what I did on this actual shoot with you in the coming days and in the coming week or so. So really looking forward to it. I hope that's been useful for you, and as ever, if you've got any questions, just get in touch and ask away. I'm really hoping the weather is somewhat cooler on the day, and a little cloud cover wouldn't go amiss either. Overcast conditions would work really well. With all that brickwork, there's just so much potential, but of course we'll just have to wait and see what happens on the day. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.